Luke chapter 3. Now, in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, now, from what I've read, he reigned from 14 to 37 A.D., Pontius Pilate, being governor of Judea, and Herod, being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of Iturea, and of the region of Trachonitis, and Lysanias, the tetrarch of Abilene, Annas and Caiaphas being the high priests. So see what I mean about Luke being very detailed, gives a lot of names and dates and places. I like that. The word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness, and he came into all the country around the Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, and this is from Isaiah 40, verses 3 through 5, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. So this is the prophecy about John the Baptist coming like 6 months before Jesus to help prepare the people's hearts and minds for the coming of Christ. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough way shall be made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Then he said to the multitude that came forth to be baptized by him, O generation of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Now, obviously, he's not talking to people who went out there into the wilderness to hear John preach and to be baptized of him if they were genuine, if they had good hearts. I think he's talking mostly about the people, probably the religious leaders that went out there just to see what the big hubbub was about. Therefore, bring forth fruit worthy of repentance. That's what we call godly sorrow. Have godly sorrow and repent. And do not begin to say within yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I say to you that God is able to raise up children for Abraham from these stones. In other words, it doesn't matter one diddly bit if you were ethnically a Jew. It doesn't matter. John said God can make these rocks here on the ground, children of Abraham. That's not what matters. For I say to you that God, and also now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that does not bring forth good fruit is cut down and cast into the fire. Of course, this is a figure of speech. He's not talking literally about trees. The tree would represent people, and good fruit would be, you know, obedient works, and cast into the fire would be hellfire. And the people asked him, saying, what shall we do then? Okay, so if you're telling us, John, that just us being Jews doesn't get us a ticket to heaven, doesn't make us special anymore, then what do we need to do to be saved? And he answered and said to them, he who has two coats, let him give to him who has none. And he who has food, let him do likewise. And these are just examples. He's not saying this is the only thing you have to do and you'll go to heaven. These are just examples of how they need to be living from now on. Then tax collectors also came to be baptized and said to him, Master, what shall we do? And he said to them, collect no more than what is appointed for you. Be honest. Apparently tax collectors in the first century were known to be pretty corrupt. And the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, and what shall we do? And he said to them, do not do violence to any man, and do not accuse anyone falsely, and be content with your wages. He's just giving some examples of obedient works that followers of Christ should have. Now, again, at this point in time, they were still living under the law of Moses, so they would need to be obeying the law of Moses if they were Jews. If they were not Jews, then they either needed to be following the law of Moses as a proselyte or following whatever law of God they had at that time. Okay, and as the people were in expectation, and all men mused in their hearts about John, whether he was the Christ or not, John answered, saying to them all, indeed, I baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, the strap of whose shoes I am not worthy to untie. He shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Now, this We talked about this when we went through Matthew. The baptism with the Holy Spirit, that would be to the apostles only. And we'll see that when we get into Acts. And this baptism with fire may be referring to AD 70, when Jerusalem was destroyed by the Romans. His fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and will gather the wheat into his storehouse, but he will burn the chaff with unquenchable fire. Again, using figures of speech, the wheat would be the obedient, the chaff would be the disobedient, the storehouse in this case would be heaven, and the unquenchable fire is going to be hell. And he preached to the people many other things in his exhortation. But Herod the Tetrarch, being reproved by him for Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, and for all the evils that Herod had done, added yet this, above all, that he shut John up in prison. I don't know how long John the Baptist got to preach in the wilderness. He did some preaching, and he did baptize a lot of people. Not sure. I'm going to guess probably around 6 months. Because then Jesus comes on the scene and he starts his ministry, and he was 30 years old when he started his ministry. So I'm going to guess probably 6 months John was in the wilderness preaching and baptizing before Herod threw him in prison. And we read in another account that Herod had thrown John in prison because John had pointed out, you are not authorized to have your brother's wife. And Herod didn't like that. Now, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And we can read that in Matthew, that John the Baptist actually baptized Jesus. And while he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in a bodily shape like a dove. And a voice came from heaven that said, you are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased. You can see here in this scene all three persons of the Godhead. You have Jesus being baptized, the Holy Spirit descending on him like a dove, and then a voice from heaven saying, you are my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. So you have the Godhead there, all present. Now, when the Holy Spirit descended on him, I think this was his kind of anointment and appointment to, it's time for you to start your ministry, Jesus. And he would be doing that for 3.5 years until he was killed. And Jesus himself began his ministry at about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph. And now we're going to get into the genealogy of Jesus, but this time it's from Mary's side. When we read it in Matthew chapter 1, that was from Joseph's side. And so I'm going to be saying who was the son of many, many times here. So, okay, sorry, I got interrupted. And Jesus himself began his ministry at about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph. I think when it's saying as was supposed, we realize that Joseph wasn't biologically Jesus' father. But it was looked on as Joseph being his father. The son of Joseph, who was the son of Heli, who was the son of Mathat, who was the son of Levi, who was the son of Melchi, who was the son of Janna, who was the son of Joseph, who was the son of Mattathias, who was the son of Amos, who was the son of Naaman, who was the son of Esli, who was the son of Nagai, who was the son of Maath, who was the son of Mattathias, who was the son of Simei, who was the son of Joseph, who was the son of Judah, who was the son of Joanan, who was the son of Resa, who was the son of Zerubbabel, who was the son of Shealtiel, who was the son of Neri, who was the son of Melchi, who was the son of Adai, who was the son of Kosam, who was the son of Elmadam, who was the son of Ur, who was the son of Joshua, who was the son of Eleazar, who was the son of Joram, who was the son of Mathat, who was the son of Levi, who was the son of Simeon, who was the son of Judah, who was the son of Joseph, who was the son of Jonan, who was the son of Eliakim, who was the son of Meliah, who was the son of Menah, who was the son of Mattatha, who was the son of Nathan, who was the son of David, who was the son of Jesse, who was the son of Obed, who was the son of Boaz, who was the son of Salmon, who was the son of Nashon, who was the son of Amminadab, who was the son of Ram, who was the son of Hezron, who was the son of Perez, who was the son of Judah, who was the son of Jacob, who was the son of Isaac, who was the son of Abraham, who was the son of Terah, who was the son of Nahor, who was the son of Sereg, who was the son of Reuel, who was the son of Peleg, who was the son of Eber, who was the son of Shelah, who was the son of Cainan, who was the son of Arphaxad, who was the son of Shem, who was the son of Noah, who was the son of Lamech, who was the son of Methuselah, who was the son of Enoch, who was the son of Jared, who was the son of Mahalalel, who was the son of Cainan, who was the son of Enosh, who was the son of Seth, who was the son of Adam, who was from the son of God. So we have all the way from Adam to Joseph in this genealogy. Now, I haven't really done a study of this because this is from Mary's side. So, and the one in Matthew is from Joseph's side. So I don't know how Mary plays into this. That's a study that I need to do for another time. So that is Luke chapter 3.